You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. As always, all our services are available on our Expanding Horizons podcast site and on iTunes, free to download. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you should check out our TV programs at Adelaide Channel 44 Community Television. Why do we gather as we do today? We gather here to find meaning in our everyday actions. We gather here to win power back over our areas of powerlessness. We gather as we do today to deepen our understanding of ourselves. We gather as we do today to master ourselves. We gather as we do to spend time away from our routines and relearn what's important. We gather as we do today to teach one another. We gather here to see that our one and only life is a gateway to unimagined possibilities. We gather thus to change, for when we change, our world changes. Well, good morning and welcome to this service of worship. We call it a service because it is meant to serve you. And we call it worship because it raises to worth things that matter. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I welcome you on behalf of generations of Unitarians who've worshipped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. This is a spiritual community, a community that supports you in finding, fashioning, and following your own spiritual path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world. Please do join us after the service for coffee, tea, and conversation. Let's join together first in singing our opening song, There's a River Flowing in My Soul. Please stand as you're able.
There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my soul. And it's telling me that I'm somebody.
So we're now 7 days, or about one quarter of the way, into the minimum amount of time. Neuroscientists say that it takes to embed new habits of mind, and therefore change or a development of our inner nature. If you weren't here last week and are just joining in on this today, no problem, because 21 days is the absolute minimum time, apparently, studies say, to affect neurological change. The ushers will have given you the necessary handout if you weren't here last week. If they haven't, maybe you could grab one from the foyer. Last time we modeled this period of observance on others practiced by certain religious traditions, such as Ramadan, which is going on right now, which involves fasting all day long and prayer, and on Lent, which involves sacrificing everyday cravings. And we saw how these periods of spiritual discipline are kind of like high-intensity interval training. It's sort of a physical equivalent. Really bearing down hard for a short period boosts one's overall metabolism, and it works the same for your spiritual metabolism, is to bear down hard for a short period. We also observed that how spiritual practices work is grounded in neuroplasticity. That's that new frontier of brain science that's revealed the mechanics of how new habits of mind are created and embedded and become who you are. People usually think that you have to have a feeling to prompt an action, that that's the only way to be honest and authentic, that your actions are always caused by your feelings. But it also works the other way, too. If you want to feel a certain way, you can do certain things that create that desired feeling, make it happen. In short, as the old saying goes, if you act the way you'd like to be, soon you'll be the way you act. Another way of saying this is that all change begins in gesture. Something you don't have to feel like or mean even at first. So if I, for example, want to be a more courteous person, for example, I might practice holding doors for people or letting them go ahead of me in traffic. That's a real struggle. I don't have to mean it at first. I don't have to feel like it. But if I do it enough, and that, again, they say 21 to 28 days consistently, it will become a habit. And I will become more naturally courteous without having to think about doing it. Even the smallest change in gesture can change who we are over time. I mean, if you choose to do something very un-British, like smiling at people rather than blanking them, for instance, can change not them, but you. Buddhists, for example, use simple hand gestures, little things called mudras, when praying or meditating, and these have different intentions and induce different states of feeling, creativity, willpower, calm, compassion, and so on. All this means you are free to develop whatever sort of spiritual nature you want. And what could be more freeing than hacking your own mind in the direction of your highest spiritual aspirations? So I asked you to choose a spiritual practice from this list of such practices. These have all been tried and tested over a long time, but are not connected to any particular religious tradition. The idea is to develop your spiritual health. To help you choose, these practices were grouped to address different things that commonly cause us to suffer from time to time, like difficulties in personal relationships, or anxieties, or being hard on yourself. Let me just get a show of hands. How many of you chose or are tempted to choose something from this batch? You see hands? Did anyone choose anything from that or are tempted to choose anyone from that? You all have pretty positive self-talk, do you? Okay. What about this one? Difficulty in relationships with friends, family. Okay. What about this one? Stress and anxiety. Anybody? Good. All right. To undo these things that tie us up and screw us up, to undo them, daily practice between Sundays is essential, which is why I gave you the wristbands. Does anybody here play an instrument other than Schrodinger's cats? So in order to practice an instrument, you've practiced scales, right? But you don't play scales when you play a piece of music. So what do scales do for you? Any thoughts? All right, let's try a different one. Do any of you play or have played a sport? In sports, you do drills. Right? But you don't do a drill during a game. So what are the purpose of drills? What does that do for you? In both these cases, doing scales on a piano or on a guitar, doing drills on a sports pitch, the idea is that in both cases, the repetitive discipline allows you to move freely in whatever it is you're trying to master, to free you up. So it's about mastering yourself. And spiritual discipline works the same way, but it's about mastering not a skill, not a musical skill or a sports skill, but about mastering yourself. The point is, discipline frees you. It's not restrict you, but frees you. If you don't do the drills in soccer, you can't move as nimbly. If you don't do the scales on the piano, you can't play as well. So the wristband was just a reminder to do the repetitive work. There's a hymn about repetitive work, which I wonder if you'd sing with me. It's called Inch by Inch, Row by Row. It's an old Holly Near folk song. Please stand as you're able.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Now we can cut it there. You get the idea. Have a seat. So now it's time for some buzz time. Chat to people around you about how your practice is going, or if you're choosing one today, which one you might choose and why. Meantime, I can distribute a few more. Well, we actually ran out of the blue wristbands. So I have a reasonable facsimile here in orange. So if you came with a partner, obviously they're aware of what you're doing, so maybe pick somebody else to talk to during this buzz time, and we'll get you to share after. So just take a few minutes and buzz about either how your practice is going or which practice you might adopt and why. Off you go. Would anyone care to be brave enough to put yourself out there and share either, if you've chosen a practice last week, how's it going? And that can be success or failure or struggle or whatever. Or if you're just sort of thinking about one, picking up one this week for the next 3 weeks, which one you might pick and why? Well, the idea here is that sharing it as we do in this kind of context is really good because you want the support and encouragement of others. And you find that in practices that are shared in things like in Islam or in Christianity, when people go to church, they talk about their Lenten practice, or they talk about their Ramadan practice. And in doing so, you feel like you're not alone in it and you have the support of other people. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of failure in spiritual practice. I only have to think about my time as a meditator. Basically meditating on the fact that I can't meditate effectively, and that becomes my meditation. And you talk about chasing your own tail with it. But at the same time, you feel like if you persist at it, you will get somewhere, because I think the point about neuroplasticity is you can't help get somewhere if you keep at it. That's how the brain cell connections are made. That's how the neural pathways are created. And you become different. And you're not always aware of it, because you're like changing your optical lenses very gradually, and you don't notice that sort of thing. All this working together makes it a lot easier, so support each other. And we'll do this again next week, because we'll be about halfway in. So thanks for all your contributions. And anyway, it's not rocket science. This is it. The problem, of course, is that most folks would rather talk about or debate spirituality than practice it, particularly Unitarians, I find. That is the one thing I just don't get. I do not get, never have gotten it about this particular denomination. It is not hard to work at the kind of stuff spiritual teachers have been urging us to do from the dawn of time. But you've got to do stuff as well as think or talk about it. It's not hard. Practice kindness toward a difficult person again and again and again. Forgive people again and again and again. Give some money or service in lieu of money where it's needed again and again and again. Encourage someone who needs it again and again and again. Be the first to apologize over and over and over. Or go out at night and watch the majesty of the stars as they move in infinite space, not because any of these things are good for the thing you're dealing with. You're meditating on the stars isn't going to help the stars, because it's good for you. These are all things people can do and have done. And what one person can do, another can do, even forgive Centrelink. You want a better world, a better future for yourselves, don't you? I want that for you too. I do. So do we all. But changing the world starts with changing yourself. Yourself. Because when you change, the world changes. So I'll leave you with this prayer, which I'd like us to read together for a change. It's from the Dhammapada. Together, we are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. Speak or act with a clouded mind, and trouble will follow you, as the wheel follows the ox that draws the cart. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. Speak or act with a clear mind, and happiness will follow you as your shadow, unshakable. However many holy words you read, or however many you speak, what good will they do you if you do not act upon them? Let's join in singing our closing song, Come and Go With Me to That Land. Please stand as you are able.
Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land.
Go to the end of the path until you get to the gate. Go through the gate and head straight out towards the horizon. Keep going toward the horizon. Sit down and have a rest every now and again. But keep on going. Just keep on with it. Keep on going as far as you can. That's how you get there. Amen, and have a great week.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.